Want a smoother contour and more youthful-looking cheeks? Rediscover a younger-looking you by adding volume to the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC, part of the number one selling collection of dermal fillers based on January 2022 provider survey data. With help from Juvederm Voluma XC and a licensed specialist, you can achieve a more youthful cheek look completely customized for your goals. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Missed any of the show, grab the podcast.
Free every day at TNTRadioEmpire.com.
iTunes or on the Stitcher app.
You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Tyler Walsh with us. Wally Shore gonna phone, or we calling him?
He's calling me anytime.
All right. John Paul Morgan in the studio with us on Friday. He's at the Funny Bone this weekend, Friday and Saturday, along with Tyler Walsh. Obviously, Nick's out and about. Where are you at Friday and Saturday?
Yeah, Nick? Friday night I will be in Silver Creek, Nebraska at the Highway 30 Tavern, and I'll be at Cabo Bar in Beatrice, Nebraska on Saturday night.
You were reading a story that I heard to Nick off the air yesterday. I was reading something that sounded like a script of the show The Shield, or any kind of show where there's bad cops, which is all cops.
Yeah.
No, not in real life. I mean, on some of these shows, they have bad cops, obviously, TV shows.
It is, yeah. it's out of a script.
You'd be a fool to think of there's bad cops in real life.
No, yeah. I said bad cops are all cops, and not all cops are bad cops. There's a lot of bad
cops.
There's
an LAPD officer during a training exercise was killed. And it turns out that he was
investigating
other officers for rape. Sexual assault. Yeah,
right.
Like,
okay.
It sounded like a gangbang type thing.
It's a total Shield episode. They said, you go ahead first, and then they kill him. Oh, it's an accident. But that guy was investigating all of us for rape.
I just saw that storyline on that show City on a Hill that we've been watching on Showtime.
Yeah.
Cop's going to testify against another one.
Yeah.
He killed in the line of duty, got friendly fire from another cop.
You said duty. That's the first episode of The Shield.
That was the pilot.
I started to watch, after all these years, I didn't realize how long ago it was, I just started watching The Wire. Heard about this for years.
I just binged it a couple years ago.
Now, I like it, but it's 2002 was the first season. There's typewriters.
Flip phones.
It's not even flip phones. It's
pay
the
phones.
It's the, well, there's some, it's just a regular phone, that little short one.
Yeah.
There's some pay phones in it. But the typewriters threw me off more than anything because all the cops wrote reports on typewriters.
And according to Weekend Update, at least this past weekend, The Wire became increasingly white over the years. They made a joke about that.
I don't even know that.
I noticed that because I kind of stopped. I watched the first season, and the second season was like an entirely different, still Baltimore, but like a different setting.
Yeah. Was it?
The first season was, you know, set more in the projects, and the second season was on the docks.
Okay.
Yeah, because there's kind of an end to the storyline in the beginning, at the end of the first season, and then it's the same cops in the same city. It takes a little turn in season
two. I hate when shows do that, because I'm like, if I'm watching a show, I know all these characters. It's lazy TV watching. But I'm like, now I got to figure out all these. What the hell?
Well, I think it's a safeguard.
I like that you describe TV watching as lazy. Like, it has to be described as lazy. That's lazy.
Yeah.
It's called TV watching.
I'm like, I knew these people. Right. Just keep those people.
Yeah, I think it's a safeguard to getting canceled after one season. In case we don't get a second season, let's have some sort of an ending here that could be the end of the whole thing.
The show's obviously good. I mean, I knew it got all the awards in real time when it was happening, but I am finding myself pausing at certain scenes thinking, I'm not buying the typewriters. I'm not buying, it's 20 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
20 years ago.
They move forward by the end. I think there's 5 seasons. By the end of the fifth season, it's like, 2008, 2009.
Which is the way it works.
You're a few years later. That's weird. Well,
but you're jumping forward in technology
it's TV,
quite a bit.
Yeah, they can jump ahead. Or they can jump backwards.
No, but it's not. Mm-hmm. The show's not about the future, though. I get it. No, I'm still going to watch it. I'm just saying that I've noticed that in certain series, if you wait too long to go back, the technology is weird. And you're going,
I had that problem with Deadwood. It was like it was set 150 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, that's different. That's a history show.
Yeah, but I thought about that.
I didn't think 20 years ago, for some reason in my brain, I didn't think 20 years ago
was that antiquated?
People were using typewriters.
The last 20 years for technology have been a big step.
Well, we say it all the time about the smartphones. You'll watch a show and you'll go, why doesn't that guy have a smartphone? And it's only 10 years ago. That's why. I mean, man, it's a little
longer. 15,
right.
15 years, about 15 years.
But you think there's a lot of shows you watch 15 years ago, you think there should be a smartphone in that, and you realize they weren't around.
Yeah. Nowhere.
They weren't around.
Yeah. I've thought about that. So I'd like to show my kids some of the old Seinfelds. I don't know if they'd be into it or not, but there'd be a lot of like, why do you have to break into your apartment to get a message off an answering machine?
Right.
What's that?
Right.
Like,
right.
I wonder how many questions they'd have just about, the technology-driven plot.
If they watched Seinfeld, right, right.
I was like fifth or sixth grade in 2002. We had, it was computers everywhere.
I know,
there was
I
never saw a typewriter.
Okay, all right. Well, these cops in Baltimore.
I mean, at a farm sale.
There was no money at
a farm sale. What, you were banging the widow? Helping her set everything out on the lawn?
But at a police precinct with no budget?
Right.
Sure.
That was why.
They're going to have a bunch of old typewriters laying around.
That was why.
In 2000.
Mm-hmm. Right.
2002.
All right.
Yeah, it does stand. And the other thing about some of those shows, too, is if they're made for like the box size TV, it really stands out if you're watching that on a widescreen TV.
Yeah, they tried to reformat those things. All right, coming to the bone, one night only, Thursday. And I think he's in Des Moines the next night, back in Vegas, Colorado Springs, all over the place. Go to PaulieShore.com.
Our old friend, Paulie Shore, joining us.
Hey, brother. How you been, man?
How are you?
Whoa, bro.
Paulie, I got a lot of questions for you. I still follow you on the socials.
Oh, man.
I follow you on the socials. I'm loving all this stuff. Is there going to be a Biodome movie? Another one?
Two. Would that be two?
Yeah,
there's only been the one.
We're going to see. We're working on it. We should know probably in December, I think.
Okay, because I did hear that from other sources. I thought, man, that sounded like it was a legitimate rumor that might be true.
So it's been pitched, and there's been a discussion? That's where you're at now?
Yeah, they're getting close.
All right.
Just put it that way. So Brad Crevoy, who is the producer of the first one,
right?
He, he's been talking to MGM and Amazon. So Amazon bought MGM a while ago, and MGM controls the title. So, we have a writer. He wrote the treatment. So, I mean, it's just about the money at this point. So.
All right. Hold out. Hold out for more money then.
Do you have a favorite Paulie Shore movie?
Oh, man. Pinocchio, the recent one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Father, let me on my own. I had the whole world to see.
Paulie, what's I'm looking at your projects here. What's stuck in the hood? Looks like you're a yuppie stuck in a hood.
It's an idea that I came up with that I wrote with a friend. It's a fish out of water comedy.
Okay.
And I'm trying to get financing and just putting it out there. That's a good part about the internet now. If you have an idea, you can just put it out there and maybe it'll wind up on Snoop Dogg's desk soon or something.
You have a poster written up for it, a treatment and everything. I love this. That's a great idea. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. It's good. It's trying to bring the blacks and the whites together in a really fun, kind of heartfelt way is my point. Okay. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, I go in there, I save the hood, and then I bring everyone together. Kumbaya,
Okay. Cool. I hope it gets made.
Right. World needs more of that.
I'm digging the wig you got on in that thing. It's pretty cool looking.
Yeah.
What's new, man?
I play like a QAnon guy, and my Tesla runs out of electricity in front of this drug house,
Oh, I got it. Okay. I got it. Fish out of water, which you're great at, by the way. You always have been in those situations.
Yeah, those fish out of water stuff. So.
All right, how's Vegas going for you? I see you're all over Vegas. I know you live there now.
Well, it's good. I'm moving back to L.A. in about 3 weeks. So,
how come?
You know, I have my run.
You had your
run? I have my run, you know.
You just got tired of it or what? Well, you were there through the COVID, but you moved there before COVID. Yeah.
Yeah, it was more of a pandemic move,
okay.
You know.
Okay.
And then once I got out here, I, you know, spent time here, and then I realized, like, you know what? I got to get out of here, you know.
So. What about Vegas don't you like?
Yeah, what was the tipping point saying?
What
did you say? I got to get out of here.
Well, I think just there's a lot of, like, it's just kind of one note out here.
Okay.
I mean, there's not a lot of culture. I don't know. It's just bottle service, DJs, you know, strippers, magicians. You know, it's just kind of like that one form of entertainment, and that's not kind of who I am, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't want to get stuck in a residency out here, and, you know, I don't want to be locked in here. And then, plus, I don't want to get Vegas throat, you know? You know that happens.
Well, okay, what's Vegas throat?
All of a sudden, you turn into, like, Wolfman Jack, you know, because everything is so dry out here that all of a sudden, you know what I mean?
So it's not just aware. Like, that's a phenomenon.
It sounds like it might be, man.
Back to the...
Well, it's like there's no moisture in the air out here. So, and at the end of the day, I love Vegas and I love the friends that I made. It's almost like when I went to Maui for the pandemic, I was there for 3 or 4 months and I created a lot of friendships.
Right.
You know, so now when I go back to Maui, I have like this huge database of friends that I can go hang out with. So as far as Vegas, it's the same thing. I mean, I'm definitely going to come back and maybe get an apartment out here, but I guess the bottom line is I don't want to wake up in Vegas every morning, you know?
I got it. Well, it's nice to have options, and you worked really hard to get those options.
The moisture of Maui is good, too.
Well, you're also in the...
Yeah, Maui will get rid of your Vegas throat.
Sure. Okay, all right. Wish we had that option, but that's cool, man. Paulie Shore with us. He's coming to Funny Bone Thursday night in Omaha, and then Friday... That one sold out. Des Moines, I think, coming up the next night. And what's the one-man show compared to your stand-up? What's the difference?
It's completely different. I mean, the stand-up's the stand-up, and the one-man show's the one-man show. The one-man show's... Well, it is. It's
okay.
Just, the one-man show's a monologue.
Okay.
You know? It's like kind of like Mike Tyson's Undisputed Truth.
Right.
Okay.
Where it's, you know, where I talk about my... It's mostly my childhood leading up to before I made it, you know, right around there. So all the
story.
Stuff that happened at... All the stuff at the beginning, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, and there's some great
stories. That's what it's called. Yeah, it's called Stick with the Dancing, because that's what my mom said to me after she saw me perform.
Really?
That's the line she used on you? Did she end up liking your comedy?
Yeah, well, I went on stage to perform in front of her for, you know, after a couple of years of doing stand-up. And then I ended with a pop-locking routine to Freakazoid. You know, I'm a Freakazoid.
Sure.
Come on and want, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And my body moves really good. My body moves good. So then after, I'm like, well, how do you think? She said, stick with the dancing.
Well, we all watched the Comedy Store documentary, and obviously to get a laugh from your mom was like the biggest thing anybody could want at that place.
Yeah, at what point did she approve of your comedy?
That's
do you remember
great,
that?
Great question.
She never really did, actually.
Oh, okay.
Did she like your movies or your MTV work, or did she like...
I think that it was. She was very proud, but it was kind of perplexing because it was like I was her son, and she's like looking me up there, and it was. I don't know. It was kind of weird for her. Yeah.
Stick with the dancing,
Paulie. But yeah, so that's been going good. I've been touring. We just got into the New York Comedy Film Festival.
Excellent.
For that, so that premieres out there in November. So it's, you know, it's been a hard, it's like a production.
Okay.
So like, for instance, when I'm talking about different things, images and videos are playing behind me.
Okay.
So I have to travel with an operator that, kind of, you know, moves the slides and the photos and the videos along, but it's hard. You know, a lot of people are like, I'll invite my friends to the one man show and they're like, let's go out after. And I'm like, dude, I don't know how I'm going to feel after. It's very exhausting.
Yeah,
I bet it is.
You know, you're kind of, you're going back in time and you keep like kind of picking that scab, you know, that stuff that happened when you were younger. And so it's an emotional kind of piece, And but you know, I'm proud of it, and I'm happy about it.
Yeah, that's a great question, because I think all the years we've known you, I know that the stories about you being a kid and the comedians babysitting you and hanging out, there had to be, that couldn't have been just all fun when you were a kid. There had to be some, you know, some stuff you didn't really, didn't
some complications to it.
Yeah, was there some bad stuff about
that? Yeah, it was, you know, there was no parental supervision.
Right.
I had run of the building.
Right.
And I had no one ever tell me what I can do and can't do. So I had no, you know, I never got a whooping, you know.
Right.
It was just like, it was just free form. So I got in a lot of trouble. And I don't know, but it was fun had by all. So the good part is I don't have any weird stories. You always hear stories about, you know, people touching your private parts
right.
when you were younger, you
right,
know?
Right.
Like, I never had that happen. I mean, my mom always gave me to the comedians, and everyone was always respectful, and it wasn't weird. It was never, ever weird. It was, you know, there's nothing but love with the comics.
Well, that's actually pretty lucky. That's pretty lucky.
But they probably left you alone because you're Mitzi's kid. Don't you think?
Well, like, they're all pedophiles.
Well, they don't want to piss off Mitzi.
Yeah, but a pedophile's a pedophile.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, right. You know what's funny is all the comedians that really babysat me never made it, and all the comedians that didn't babysit me made it. Like, Jim Carrey got asked to babysit me. He's like, no, I'm good. He became a big star. And then a guy named Jackson Purdue did, and you know, no one's ever heard of him, right?
That's funny.
Yeah. Are you still friends with a lot of the babysitters?
The what?
Are you still friends with a lot of those people?
Yeah, no, I'm friends with them all. Yeah,
okay. All right. Paulie Shore with us.
It's fun. It was funny because, you know, when I first hit, you know, and I was doing, you know, my run of films, and I was always going on Letterman or Leno and
right.
Arsenio. I've been on those shows so many times, and it was always so. It was such an uncomfortable thing for them because I kind of knew their secrets.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Of who these guys really were. So if I would sit down with Arsenio, you know, he would start asking me about, you know, just generic movie crap. And then I'd be like, dude, you know, you start at my mom's club. Let's go there. And then it would get all like weird. And that was the way it was for Leno and Letterman. So it was really fun for me. Because I was Mitzi's kid, you know,
right.
They just knew me as this kid, and then here I am doing these movies. So it was just always the interviews were always awkward and weird, which was fun, you know.
I'd like to go back and check some of that out now.
Because you made it that way.
Thinking about it now, exactly, right.
Knowing what we know now.
Paulie Shore with us, Funny Bone in Omaha, Thursday night. Hey, how's the love life, man? I always ask you that.
Same as before, dodging and weaving.
Oh, yeah? All right. Still. You had a hottie in Phoenix last time we talked to you. It's been a while probably since then.
Yeah, that was Allie. I was with her. We're still very close.
Okay.
But we're not going yet.
Dodging and leaving, huh? Nobody right now?
No, dodging and weaving.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Do you see that happening forever?
I don't know, man. I'm kind of stuck in my ways unless I get hit on the head with a love bug from some women that I meet that, you know, that's just supposed to happen.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I kind of like being alone, and I like not answering to anyone. And I kind of like the freedom of just, you know, putting my heart and my soul into my work and in my comedy. And man, I don't know. I mean, if you watch my stuff online, you can see how much stuff I produce.
Yeah, you do.
You know,
you're nonstop, man. You produce a lot of stuff, man. So congratulations.
Have you come
close?
Yeah,
like I got my band, the Crusties.
Yeah,
you know, that's like a fun thing. And,
yeah, I love the name, you know, the Crusties, by the way, because the band does look crusty, man. They really do.
Well, it's me and a bunch of senior citizens, you know?
I know. They rock, man. I'm looking at you're doing Thank God I'm a Country Boy here with the Crusties on board. Right. But check it out.
Yeah.
All right,
it's
buddy.
It's just, you know, it's another form of expression, you know?
Yeah. Proud of you, buddy. Glad you're doing really well, and congratulations on all your success, and have fun at the Funny Bone. I know you're going to be in and out. You're flying. You're coming in and going to Des Moines. You won't get a chance to see you, but maybe we'll stop by and see you. But it's sold out already. Appreciate you calling either way, Paulie. Thanks.
All right, guys. You guys have a nice one, and congratulations on still rocking Omaha, Nebraska. It's awesome. Well, you're probably everywhere now out there, right?
We're a lot of places. Yeah. So,
we're there in Wichita.
And by the way, you mentioned it.
And everywhere.
Yeah, well, I know, because with the way the system is, people are listening to us all around because of the way you can download the show and everything now. So
you're like the new, you guys are like the new Bob and Tom, bro.
Except they suck. Thanks, bud. Yeah. Appreciate it. See you, Paulie.
Okay. Later, bro. Bye.
Right, catching up.
And one of them quit years ago.
Right. Yeah. But apparently gets paid because he lends his name. to the show.
I'm here for this shade.
Whatever. I'm tired of that crap. Anytime we've been up against them in any market, we kicked their ass. So, you know, believe me, I don't care anymore, as you can tell.
Well, neither does the dude that left.
Exactly.
I mean, I would take their paycheck.
Oh, in a heartbeat.
Given the option. Yeah.
Pauly Shore, Funny Bone, tomorrow night. That's sold out. And
I like that character. That's day. My favorite character.
Just Pauly.
Talking to real Pauly.
I know.
Not the Wheeze.
No.
The Wheeze.
We've hung with the Wheeze.
I think there was talk for a while, too, of doing a second Encino Man.
I heard that, too.
Yeah.
I heard that, too.
Like that, like some really serious talk. That might actually happen,
right,
you know?
Right.
Yeah.
See,
why?
I was hoping his answer would be Son-in-Law. That's kind of my favorite Pauly Shore movie.
And that's the only one that Tiffany Amber Thiessen is in.
Yes. He's actually said, though, other times that's his proudest moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Army Now is not bad.
Yeah.
No. But, and he's all the
Son-in-Law's a funny movie.
Total fish out of water movie where he's comfortable.
Right.
I've heard him address, like, I saw a video that popped up on my Facebook where he addresses people that are asking for remakes of all these movies.
Yeah, right.
And like him explain, hey, I have nothing to do with it.
You can't.
They're
you can't
all
just,
locked away. You know, like,
somebody else
sure, I would love to if ever come up, but these aren't in the works. Exactly. I can't do anything about it.
Yeah. Nick's eyebrows raised when Paulie mentioned he was never played with.
But he's like, some people, and you're like pointing.
You look to me, too.
Man, sucks being the only one who was played with as a kid in the room.
Push said that. That's pretty funny.
It sucks worse when you're the kid, like when you're that age. As an adult, you're like, hey, at least
we are not good friends.
In the past.
Who was Paulie's girlfriend and son-in-law?
What's that actress's name?
She's an attractive one.
Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
No, she's not.
No.
She was where he went to stay at her house.
She was in the haystack.
Yeah, that's a haystack chick.
He cheated on her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He cheated on his woman with Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
No. Tiffany Amber Thiessen. No, the woman's boyfriend cheated with Tiffany Amber Thiessen. Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
Carla Gugino?
That's it.
She's great.
She's a love interest, right? Right.
Yeah.
Where would I know her from? I recognize the name.
Son-in-law.
A ton of things.
Yeah.
But she's been in a lot of stuff.
Oh, a ton. Yeah. She's a great actress.
Let's see. What is it? American Gangster. Yeah. She was in... Just Google her face. You'll immediately recognize her from a thousand things that you've seen.
Oh, yeah.
Encino Man's the one with Brendan Fraser, right?
And Sean Astin.
I was all very little.
Yeah, you're pretty little.
Oh,
yeah.
She was an Entourage. That's where I know her the most from.
Yeah, she's done a ton of stuff.
I saw him getting some flack because in this movie that he's just winning awards for, he plays like an obese gay guy. And there was some other dudes like, well, like, I'm the fat gay guy. Why don't I get this part?
That guy's, it's called The Whale, and he's getting a lot of pub for this. The guy weighed over 500 pounds. Nobody is going to gain 500 pounds for a role because you die.
Yeah.
So Brendan Fraser does have a fat suit on in that particular movie.
And at some point, the acting ability comes in.
He's an actor, right. Yeah. Right.
You have to still be a good actor.
And it's not like he put on 40, 50, 60 pounds to play something. He would have to put on 300 pounds.
Yeah.
It's a lie.
I'm working on it.
Right. Well, he had to fatten his face up a little bit.
Well, he said he put a few pounds on, but there's a lot of that that's prosthetic.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently, he's getting great pub.
I mean,
but
it's part of being a professional. Is you act.
Right.
Yeah. There's no 500 pound person.
They could pull that. Yeah.
No, probably not.
They have a hard. Yeah. Never mind. Yeah. I don't want to go too deep.
No.
That's a lot of things they have a hard time doing. Acting would be one of them.
Bending down. Yeah. Too. Yeah.
Breathing.
Yeah.
And it's just a limited talent pool. Yeah. There aren't a lot of 500 pound people out there.
No.
All right. Oh, that was fun. All right.
There are those sisters on that show, like the Fat Sisters show, that she goes and gets weighed at like the truck stop.
Yeah.
That's got
to
be.
What was the Robin Big guy? They took him to a can deposit.
What?
Yeah.
To get weighed?
Rob Dyrdek show, Robin Big. They took Big to a can deposit place to get weighed.
Man.
He was huge.
But this chick goes to the weigh station on the interstate.
They take her to like somewhere where you weigh cargo and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And,
yeah, like the grain elevator or someplace.
Took her out to the Sapp Brothers.
I don't think you're like pushing down basically. You're not pushing down truck weight.
No.
Come on back.
You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.